Hey folks, this is Gabe. I just wanted to jump in and apologize in advance for the quality of the audio in this podcast. It was recorded in the car on the way to and on the way home from the Type 2 only tournament. There is some great information in here. Despite the poor audio quality, we decided to go ahead and share it with you anyways.
All right, everybody, this is Gabe, and I am riding to the Type 2 only tournament with Sam and JD and Forrest. And we're going to take a few moments here on our car ride to share with you guys some thoughts on the Type 2 only, what we're playing, and some of the thought process that went into this event for us.
So we just decided to hop on this podcast because we were talking about a Type 2 offense that's centered around the armor of God and just the difficulty of putting together the right defense for that kind of offense. And I threw out the comment that carrots were just off the table, not even to be considered, and JD is arguing that they might be a little bit better than I think they are. So, JD, give us some of your thoughts on why carrots might be a good add.
Well, in general, I've been enjoying playing carrots, thanks to Tyler Stevens, in Type 1. I don't know necessarily the viability of Carrot in Type 2, but paired with Demon, you've got a lot of backup options. And if you can, and you find, some stacked armor, and you can get rid of the guy who has the stacked armor, then you've pretty much got, a number of extra options to continuously take care of whoever is left in battle. I think that it might not be argued that, the banding or Armor of God is definitely a huge plus. And whenever you start seeing those kinds of bands and that kind of protection, how you can spread out the protection, you get some really powerfully protected heroes that can all come into battle at once and make a lot of things happen, which gives you a lot of speed and, can protect lost souls and, all of the different abilities. You got a play ability once you've got your armor moving on. So, I think that it's a good idea to have those kinds of backup plans because whenever, you're looking at, say, for example, Sword of the Spirit and maybe one or two of your options in your hand, maybe, you're used to only playing, some battle winners, you would have some battle winners in hand with, different kinds of defenses. You might wind up, not having that extra option or that plan B, that backup. So if you can, add additional characters to battle, for example, after they've played first off of Sword of the Spirit and or played an Angel of the Lord or a great in that case that maybe you do come on with something that can automatically get a block. For example, if you block with like a Sapphira or a Fight by the Number, like a KOC, some way that you can negate that protection. I think that negating protection is a huge thing. I really like Harris, but another, I think, viable defense at the moment is Babylonian, because if you can use Ezekiel, I feel like right now Iron Pan is a huge card against a whole lot of different offenses and defenses because you can negate that protection. And, protection is becoming more and more of a powerful ability in the game. And, Iron Pan, has so many different uses. Not just negating protection, but also negating draw. And, so there's, and then it can be also activated on Ezekiel. So you can have, an Iron Pan up, be negating all their armor. And, if they aren't playing multiple fortresses or willing to sacrifice those fortresses, they're going to have to be having, something else like a Capture Guard if they're not running Nazareth. Or a, they're going to have to wind up figuring out how to get to their destruction.
Or they can discard a fortress.
Yeah, but if they don't have, many good forts, and you're running three pans and they've got two forts, they're going to be running out of options.
Yes, they will.
On top of that, if they are running forts, chances are they're relying on those forts. So, you know, sacrificing a fortress, that's pretty much a shipwreck. If you have three iron pans and a shipwreck, you just took out four fortresses. That's pretty intimidating.
All right, so there you have our take on at least some thoughts initially on defenses for the Armor of God deck. I had looked into running Romans with it. We've looked into running Pharisees with it. And we've also looked into running Crimson New Testament characters with it. So we're going to take a moment here and maybe just talk about the decks that we've chosen for the event today and give you guys a little few thoughts on that.
Okay, so this is Sam. The deck that I'm planning on running is Texas. Be an Armor of God offense and a Pharisee Roman defense. So some players have said that Armor of God kind of just builds itself and that you kind of get the Armor of God and it really is a deck that, like I said, builds itself. There's not going to be a lot of diversity. What we found is that there's a lot of diversity between Armor of God decks. Between a couple players that have built it, it can be really, really different. So the version that I'm running is running all six of the Armor of God. Some people, players not play the sword, don't really need to play off of that character. But this version is running all six of those. And the heroes that are not Armor of God characters are Peter, James, Leader, Jerusalem, Claudia, and Widows of Joppa. And the heroes that I'm running with those are four Alive and Struck Blind, four Mercies of Jade, and then two of the Speak with Power. So got the Interrupt, and then the Negate discard with the Mercy of Jade and Lima Struck Blind. Really planning on just plowing through my deck and getting the Armor of God assembled, and then having powerful backup and then either Interrupt or Negate to really bring home the Speak with Power. So in a pinch, I guess the other non-Armor of God characters, Cornelius and Peter are a really strong band. Peter's got the cannon indicated in hand, the act in hand. That's what we're doing on offense. Putting those pieces together and then just kind of running with the gates and interrupts for the soul. The defense is mostly Pharisees. And I'm running those because I think this type of deck really needs to win and win fast. Your seeds are just not going to have a whole lot of longevity. Going to be playing for retention and then kind of a smattering of other battle winners. Not confident enough to run four pairs of any of the traditional gray battle winners like Bombs, Disobedient, Angels, you know, maybe anti-meta play at this tournament. We'll see. So just running two of those. A couple of just the air lanes, a couple of 10 skill signs, and really hope to speed through the deck, get everything that I want in terms of the pieces for the offense, and then just keep going there. Got some cheap blocks, a lot of drag on the defense. So, quick win, this deck win, goes to the whole game. So, that's what I'm running. I'll talk to JD about what he's running.
Well, I'm planning to run a spinning bountifully deck, and basically the concept is, you know, it's a Corinth offense, running snowing bountifully to take out, you know, keeping from the deck before it's ever drawn, and if they are running the counters, you know, assuming that the T2 only players are very high level players, you know, most, I feel the most T2 players are veteran players, and, you know, so immediately seeing Corinth offense, I feel that you know, most very experienced T2 players will activate their deck protection. And it's sort of my general analysis of cards that do protect deck, also protect hands. So with that being said, similar to, I mean, cards like 40 coins, Simon the Zealot, self-control, you know, new handle cards, that are great for protecting, you know, the hand and the deck. You know, will protect against always a hilarious moment of choosing to discard half of their hand or remove a hero from the game. And the reason I really liked the aspect that it removes a hero is because you can't set it in many cases. There are some cards that I haven't seen so frequently played, which do protect against removal. But for the most part, I pretty much built this deck to have fun. I made a video with King Leo recently on YouTube, where we played a Type 2 game, and I played pretty much the same offense, but a different kind of defense that was more built around speed. But it can kind of easily be shut down. It's very flashy, lots of small little guys. It's sort of built to contend against armor, including three middle and burst skittles, so you can kind of take the rainbow. And go for those D9s. You got damsels, so you can get those D9s if they're holding love or holding Christ Triumph. That's really what that defense is focused on. It's just primarily card advantage, but this is the T2 only tournament. I do expect there to be quite a bit of draw countering, and just higher level players. I expect to see some Thaddeus. That deck pretty much gets walked over by Thaddeus because I don't think there's an evil character in there that's tougher than Damsel, which I guess to tell you something. The toughest evil character in that deck is the girl. So that's why I chose to run Demons, is because similarly to the way that I run a Harris defense, you've got the backup plan, you've got Gates of Hell, you've got Madness, you've got ways to take care of some people, and if they drop an AOCL and you were a creep, hopefully you've got ways to be able to recover from that. I was just playing a game last night. It was actually the first T2 game I've ever played in real life. I play a lot of T2 games on Mackey with Justin and Jordan and Cliff and King Theo and a bunch of different people. But this is the first T2 game I've ever played in real life. And turn one, I wound up using Gates of Hell, or turn two, I wound up using Gates of Hell to block and discarded about 25% of my deck. But wound up getting the block through it. And wound up winning the game 7-1. So that can kind of tell you, the power of having a backup plan, the power of having, that plan B option. With the way that I play Harris, I might play Harris in Iron Man, but this won't be my T2 deck. In the Iron Man version, there's a lot of different cards, gold cards and orange cards, Madness, you've got Unknown Nation. Which Unknown Nation can be a great card to play in battle for a 0/6, or you can add an evil, discarded add an evil character, or you can use it as a curse for another kind of Madness sort of backup plan, search your death for a human evil character to add to battle. And you've got your Hero to go for the first, who can see the end, capture Peter, and discard the top card of your opponent's deck, which is great because Peter is a huge part of pretty much every play offense. I think that you're going to see a Peter. Everybody wants the healing, you've got CBN enhancements, like Sam said. Peter is a power player. So having an evil character that can automatically capture a Peter potentially is an auto block if you're blocking a Peter, but also, can potentially take out a centerpiece of somebody's offense. So, he's a great guy. You've got a CBN Act 12 enhancement, like Harris Sword. You can discard a human hero or the top card of your opponent's deck, CBN. You get the name on name bonus from that, which is amazing. It has gotten me blocked simply because of the name on name bonus. You've got a CBN Apprehended, which is another option. It's almost like a Sight Guard lost little, but you can CBN capture a human hero and place an evil character face down on that hero. And this isn't as quite as good as T2, just because of Rescuer's Choice, but in T1, you can add that evil character to battle as if the rescue attempt is for that lost hope, for that captive hero. that as a backup plan, you know, with your madness, with your indignation. And then you've got Harris' treachery, which can allow Harris to play any enhancements of any brigade. So he can start playing your orange enhancements. You know, he can start playing other color enhancements if you've got those. You know, you've got your Harris Agrippa II, who abandonment is incredible on. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a CBN abandonment because there's more than one hero in battle. And that becomes a CBN capture where I just took out two or more of possibly their most important rescuers in their offense. And then you've got, you know, Gabe Capel, obviously, you know, with that kind of defense. And then you've got the Sight Guard Lostel. So, you know, with the Sight Guard Lostel, you toss that into a Dragon Raid, and, you know, bam, you've got another option right there. So that's, like, already five different ways, you know, once you can kind of set that up. And typically I run that in T1 for, you know, defensive heavily, obviously. Tyler Stevens built the original deck and showed me the concept. He won Tennessee State last year, 2015 with it. And I was just really impressed by the deck. I thought it was amazing. I made some of my own changes to it. For example, I added a shrine for a little more late game play, a few more sight, so that I can shrine sight. And with the suicide swine, that's another way to get lost souls out of sight. But to continuously put the hand discard or lost soul into a new sight every single turn. So every turn, you're discarding a card from your opponent's hand. And, you know, that is another great way to kind of prime Cynic hand so that, you know, they maybe want to get their hand and deck protection up. And then you can get that off at CBN to remove, you know, possibly one of their most, you know, valuable heroes in the game. And a little point that Gabe pointed out, showed that we agreed on last night is that, you know, place cards follow where they're placed. So, for example, if you got an arm, you know, a spiritual warrior with, you know, a lot of armor on him, but he's not protected from orange or preventing, you know, certain enhancements, then, you know, a sinning hand can effectively remove all of that armor from the game that is played. So, you know, that removal becomes a pretty big contender, I think. And, you know, I don't personally, you know, feel that I'm going to win Type 2 only. I know there's going to be amazing competition. I have so much respect for the competition, and, you know, I'm really coming to have a good time and, you know, to apply a unique strategy that will just really make people think and make people feel, you know, like whether they win or lose, make people, you know, feel like they had to apply their strategy in a way to, you know, navigate those circumstances. And I kind of feel like, you know, that's the most fun part of Redemption is, you know, all of the unique strategies, and you know, that all goes along with the Fellowship, and, you know, it's just, I feel like that really enriches the Fellowship, and I think it gets people something in, you know, to really, you know, enjoy, you know, it's totally related to Scripture, and totally related to our lives, so, you know, as we apply the fruits of the Spirit, and use the Holy Spirit, and, you know, become spiritual warriors in our everyday life. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the T2 only, and I know it's going to be a great time. And, I mean, I know that the competition is going to be amazing. And I've been, you know, practicing on Lackey a lot, playing a lot of T2 on Lackey, and you know, I couldn't ask for better mentors. So, it's going to be a great time.
All right, this is Gabe here, and I am waffling between two decks right now. I have been testing Type 2 most of the fall. I've played some playtest decks, but I've also played some real decks prepared for this tournament. And the two that I've really enjoyed and I think are really good, I have a Judges and Canaanites deck, and that deck really thrives off the strength of Judges and the speed of Judges. And then Canaanites are just pretty strong against a lot of the things that are out there right now. Stone of Thieves is a discard that can't be negated and regardless of protection and play properly. And that's going to hit one of those Armor of God heroes. It can hit other people's Thaddeus or Gideon or any human. The weakness there are angels. So when you face angels, you need some other things to back it up. And you know, when you get in the defense, you also have Gibeonite trickery, which is going to give you some great can't be negated blocks. I have also used a few Greeks and a few Philistines in my defense because Goliath is still just a boss sometimes. There are people that are worried about having their stuff banded to, and they're playing wall of protection. And unless they have a hero in their hand that gets wall of protection, Goliath is a block, and they don't get to present a new hero. So that's always nice. The Greeks that I have, there's been some guys in and out of the deck, and I've really whittled it down to just Demetrius and got a little heavier on the Canaanites more recently. Seized by Rioters is amazing on Demetrius, but it's really good on these other guys, too. The Canaanites have Sisera, and or Sisera, however you say his name, against black and gold, and Hansen's just simply can't be negated. So you can get him in battle with initiative. You get Seized by Rioters, can't be negated on him. I have Simon the Magician in there, the black version, because against New Testament guys, enhancements can't be negated on him, assuming they don't have Peter out, so you might have to deal with Peter first. But there's some really strong can't be negated plays going on there. I'm also kind of waffling back and forth in that defense, whether or not I'm going to use Joseph in prison or Wrath of Satan. I like them both. They're both really good. I feel like kind of the same slot, though. I'm not sure I have room for both of them. So not sure which one I'm going to end up running. They both have their value. And on offense, I've really come to respect Ehud as one of the stronger judges. His choose the blocker ability can just be amazing, especially when you can donate Canaanites to your opponent with Canaan, the site. You give them one of your black Canaanites, and you get to capture a hero. So capturing their heroes is really awesome. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. But donating the Canaanite, so you flip up Covenant with Adam and usually donate, I think it's Abimelech to them, the 5'3 brown and black guy, and then I just choose him as the blocker, and he comes into battle, and he dies right away, and he gets a soul. There's a number of things that can thwart that, so I'll use Israelite Archer to ban to Ehud. That way, if they have Christian Martyr, Unholy Root or something, I still get a soul out of that deal. And really, most of the choose the blocker stuff doesn't work against that, though. It doesn't stop Wall of Protection, because I believe that has a clause on there where it stops your heroes from being brought in. And your implies ownership and control. Well, they do control Abimelech, but they don't own him, I do. So it doesn't stop him. I think Kingdoms of This World, which is another anti-choose the blocker card, might have a similar reading on it. So as far as I remember, it doesn't. Those things don't stop the Ehud combo. And then, of course, you have some pretty nice combos with your judges like Samuel and Gideon and Samuel Edict, which is really strong. There's no reason not to run four of those in most judges' decks. I also have a little bit of splash of David and Abimelech the Hittite, maybe. And I have a pair of Abraham's army in there because he's just a boss. I said I was going to talk about more capturing later, so I capture your guy with Canaanite, and then I go out, get initiative, play Deborah's Directive, and band one of those Abraham's armies in, release the captured hero, give it back to you, and then I get to negate and discard one of your cards, either an artifact, fortress, or most likely the guy that's blocking me, right? So those are some pretty strong can't-be-negated rescues right there. Those are the three main ways I'm trying to take hold of that deck. And so that's what that deck's about. The other deck that I'm waffling between is also an Armor of God offense, which is just super fast, super strong. Now, as Sam said, there's a lot of different ways to play that. I'm playing it differently than he is. Do we have the same core? Absolutely. I have the Armor of God heroes. I have the Armor of God enhancements, all six of them. Where our decks diverge is on what we do with those to win. And so I like being able to play off the Sword of the Spirit. I like being able to play a can't-be-negated battle winner off Sword of the Spirit. And all those guys are Red Warriors, so Bravery of David is pretty awesome. And so I am kind of relying on Music Leader to be able to cycle Soldier's Prayer, Sing and Praise, the Red Enhancement, and my David. Like, I can get all those things with a Music Leader. And the Soldier's Prayers will get my Bravery of David. They'll get them back from the discard pile. And so I can just recycle those things as many times as you choose to draw or search. And with Sword of the Spirit, if I have enough Bravery of David in my hand, or if my hand is small enough, you're going to choose a Bravery of David. And so that's going to come down on your guy's head when you block me. And if you are able to ban, you know, there's other things that, we can do, or you might even get to take out some of my guys. You're probably not going to get the guy that has armor on and is protected. But that offense seems to be pretty strong and seems to work pretty well. I have some Claudias in there to help speed it up. And Peter, of course, because I'm playing Clay. And if you don't use Peter when you play Clay, you probably did it wrong. The defense, however, I've tried a number of different defenses with it, and that's been more of a sticking point. And that's kind of what we were talking about when we decided to start this little podcast. On defense, I've looked at all kinds of things. I looked at demons, looked at Romans, I looked at Pharisees. Originally, I was running this splashy defense that was really awesome, really strong sometimes, but had its weaknesses. It's something that Tyler Stevens had posted on the board, that's Mr. Hiatus, and it uses a number of different brigades to band in Sanhedrin, Scribe, and Proud Pharisee. And from there, what you end up getting is an opportunity to play an enhancement, and it uses in-the-battle stuff like Forgotten History. His version was using Gibeonite Trickery. I kind of liked Wonders Forgotten a little better, and so I was using that and using some gold like Egyptian Rebel and Herod Agrippa II to ban to my guys, otherwise Messenger of Satan to get the Pale Green in there. So that was a really fun defense, but ultimately I just didn't feel like it was reliable enough. So I abandoned that, and really what I ended up settling on is a pretty strong New Testament Crimson defense. You've got some really strong bands. You've got some chump blocks with heretics protecting souls. You've got some really strong can't be negated enhancements and some great interrupts. And it's just overall pretty solid. It's not super fast like Pharisees or something would be, but it does the trick because the offense is typically fast enough. So I really like both those decks. I'll probably register them both. You know, we'll find out what I end up playing most of the time, or if I just rotate every other round, or what that looks like. So I'm undecided. Hopefully by tomorrow I will have made up my mind. All right, folks, we are back on our way home from the Type 2 Only tournament tonight. It is late. We're driving. We are spent, because when you go to the Type 2 Only tournament, you're talking about like a day and a half of redemption and very little sleep. We tried to sleep. We planned to sleep. It's just not going to happen. You're with a bunch of fun people having a great time, and there's no time for sleep. So we're pretty spent, but we're here to tell you about what we saw, how we did, how much fun we had. And start off by letting you know that Jordan Alstad won the whole thing. Congratulations, Jordan. He did an awesome job. Justin Alstad got second. He did an amazing job as well. Those guys, they were both playing two decks, and one of the decks that each of them were playing, you can find here on Land of Redemption. It was the deck that they won Nationals with last year. Justin had his Judge's Widow, and Jordan had Judge's and Demon deck. So those you can find, I believe, on the website here. Probably an updated version they were playing, but basically the same thing. And third place was snagged by somebody here in the vehicle, so I'm not going to give that away. I'll let that person share that with you. It wasn't me. I can tell you that much. So I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic to Sam, and Sam's going to let you know how he did, and then JD, and then I'll fill you in on my performance and what I saw.
Hey, guys. Sam, so coming up, overall, the deck stood out really well. Pretty surprised. I thought the defense was not going to be given to any type of long game. But five of my games either went to tie or went very close to it. So there was definitely like long looking, and the deck held up pretty well. Of my game, really pretty well getting on with God.
Redemption Collector 777 on the board?
Yes, Redemption Collector 777 on the board. We played our first game, and it was pretty hilarious just coming out of the gate. I decided to search with Christian Soldier, and he decided to block with a Amazonian character. I don't remember which one it was, but he had initiative. Or it was Nebuchadnezzar. And so he searched his deck for a...
That's a great symbol.
That's a great symbol. And I had to play that. I didn't have anything in my territory. So there were no targets. So he just searches my deck straight up bad. We're just headed into the game, headed into the tournament, and I just lost my son of God. So I was a little concerned about where this tournament play was going. I was on the road. I searched through an armor of God and didn't have an enhancement to back up that Christian soldier to win a battle. I just wanted to get the trade rolling on getting all those pieces together and just lost my son of God. So this was kind of a hilarious play. So I lose that rescue attempt, another turn goes by, and a couple cards get played. We're still kind of setting up our board state. I decide to rescue attempt again. I got a Claudia and another Christian soldier trying to keep things moving quickly, reveal my heroes to get in battle, search for another armor of God. So he plays another Babylonian and plays yet another Desecrate the Temple. So he searches my deck and discards Grave of Wrath. So I am just not being able to play any good dominance in this game. After that, Armor of God, Team Roland got all those pieces together and served with souls. And then halfway through the game, I just get King's Pawn. And so all of my enhancements that I've worked with, like, just go in the discard pile. And then I had to rebuild from there. The game ended up going pretty well. I ended up winning that one coming back. Just killed those farmers and come back pretty quickly. And just was able to pick apart his defense with some good enhancements. So things went well overall in that game, but it was just a really funny game to start. So that's part of my experience here for you with all the details of every game. It's a really great competition. I kind of won a game against Justin Olmstead in timeout by one lost soul. It was 6-5, so I guess I get to wear that badge a little bit. So sorry, Justin, for timing you out. I mean, you're still upset about that. But if you were the half win there. But yeah, I'm going to pass the order to JD, and he's going to give you a little bit a taste of his Type 2 only experience. Hello, Carrie Zug on the board. So I did manage to somehow pull third place at the T2 only.
Yeah!
Woo! I'm freaking out. I can't believe it because I've been playing Lackey, playing T2 with Justin and George and Jonathan. And King Leo, who I thought was going to be at the T2 only, King Leo. But, I've been playing for about 6 months T2, and on the way up here, there's a video of the offense that I was using pretty much, that King Leo recorded, on his YouTube, but I decided to change the defense, while I was driving up to Iowa, spending about 9 hours on the road, kind of get time to perform some theories. And so the theory was that if somebody's playing cards that protect their hand and deck from selling bountifully, which I run 4 copies of in that offense, then they are going to also be vulnerable to a certain card, a certain orange card, sitting hand, which if their hand is protected, similarly to an entrapping Pharisee, you basically gain a CBN effect, and the effect of sitting hand is you can remove the hero from the game, or its owner may discard half of their hand, otherwise it cannot be interrupted. So if their hand and deck are protected, we're assuming that anybody who knows not be embedded. It's pretty much, for the most part, it's pretty much down to like a card like a Zerubbabel symbol, and I think maybe Dust and Ashes can cover that. But I don't see either of those cards in play. I've seen maybe one person ever play Dust and Ashes, and I think I've seen one person play maybe one or two people play. So those are very uncommon cards. The hand protection is way more common in the meta. So a little preview of some of my games. Whenever I really got my combo rolling, I have 4 Sun Gauntlet, 4 Sun Spinning Hand. I can block the foreign heroes really quickly. Gabe advised me to run 2 Chloe for the draw, and that was definitely right on, because that was just a huge help. I had Thorn Claw Souls, I had Pink Claw Souls, because I assumed that I would be running into some armor. I assumed that I would be running into maybe a Soul Paul, which I ultimately did find out facing a Paul. And I dropped a messenger for a D9 through Pink Claw Soul, through my own Pink Claw Soul, through 9, and played a Sinning Hand. He had Paul's Disciples. I didn't have a Punisher out, so he underdecked his Paul's Disciples to keep Paul in the game. But from my D9, I had another Sinning Hand, so I played Sinning Hands on him, and I mean... Those Sinning Hands were just all over the place. I mean, if it wasn't Sun Bountifully, I mean, with Sun Bountifully, I was pretty much hitting for eight selling, and I could go in, hit it for 8. The good cards go back on top, lock holes go into play, and neutral cards get underdecked, and the evil cards get discarded. Well, with a lot of those selling, I was getting 6 or more evil cards. And if you discard 6 evil cards for an 8, I mean, chances are over the next 2 turns, if you could pull that off twice, selling for 8, go in with Apollo, discard a clay card from the hand, retrieve sewing, and then sewing again in your discard phase, I mean, chances are they're not going to have a block. Now, another aspect of Demons that's great is that you can band to their evil character. So, unless they have a wall, or you can shipwreck their wall, you can band to their evil character and force them to have to get rid of their own evil characters, or you can even just let their evil characters die. And in that process, spelling combined with your demons taking their evil characters becomes a very compromising situation, and where they don't really have a lot of blocking options. And another aspect of sewing, which I really like, is that you will hit Dominant. You'll hit Falling Away. You'll hit Burial. You'll hit Christian Martyr. You'll hit all these cards that there's not really a way, other than sewing Gauntlet, as far as I know, there's not a way to hit Falling Away, Christian Martyr, Mayhem, Burial, all with one card, with one play. And I've done it. Now, I didn't hit quite as many Doms all at once in this tournament. But in the event, there was two games where I got people down to 0 hand. And there was one game where I had him down to 0 hand. He had 0 hand, he had 0 evil characters. He had drawn evil cards to begin with. He was blocking me at the beginning of the game. But by the time that I got my combo rolling, by the time that I was selling, and Spinning Hand and pestering, I play Spinning Hand. So they discard half their hand, or their hero gets removed. So if they discard half their hand, chances are they didn't really know I was playing pestering. So if they wind up, discarding half their hand, they could be discarding good cards too. Well, you play a pestering, and that winds up underdecking whatever battle winners or negates they have. And then as soon as that, you can pretty much set aside their guy's TBM because they're not going to have any interrupts with the game left in their hand. And it worked really, really well. But that's the order that you've got to do it in. You've got to get them down, and then you got to just hit that pestering. So I had 3 pestering, 3 tooth of death,
four sinning hands, and maybe a worshiping demons with some household idols. Household idols was the last minute decision that I made. I ran two household idols because I realized, you know what, if I can channel them into making it to where they've only got one hero to rescue with, then I can make that sinning hand that much more effective, because then I only have to worry about taking out that one rescuing option that they've got. And then that also makes, you know, worshiping demons that protect lost souls, which is really nice. A couple of trembling demons, you know, if they've got the hand protection, again, that's pretty much a CBN protection from lost souls, along with Hope 2, probably the Holy Holies. If they don't have, you know, a hero small enough to be able to play an enhancement on a 0-3 evil character. We had a great game with Sam. I was really fortunate to be able to play him. You know, I actually lost that game, because I had a great play. I played Rebellious Spirit to discard. He had a fully armored, Soldier of God with a big Claudia Soldier of God, Christian Soldier, Paladin Band. He had big five pieces of armor on. And I was able to discard, and I saw this coming from a mile away. I was totally lining it up, and I was so ready for it, and I knew it was going to happen. I played Rebellious Spirit from hand to discard, and the Persecuted Church card, to discard a good enhancement cannot be prevented by a good card. So I discarded his Shield of Faith, which is what was protecting the Soldier of God from orange, and then I was able to play a sinning hand on his Soldier of God, where his hand was protected by Widows of Joppa from evil cards. So that basically became a CBN removed Soldier of God from the game, and all of those place enhancements followed. So that was a huge play. I was able to get a lot of snowings off on him, but he didn't let that discourage him, and you know, he just pressed through and really just came back with a really strong Peter and some just really strong CBN speak with power and struck blind. I mean, I was really impressed, and he also had a perfect window of opportunity through which I didn't have picks off, so place the pitches, get the Sabbath breakers in there whenever I was trying to get the draw. A really, really great comeback, and I was really happy to see that happen. Actually, that he didn't become disheartened at all, you know, by the sinning hands. But for the most part, I mean, I had a great time with that deck.
How about the four sinning hands in one battle?
Oh yeah, I was playing a game with Gabe, and and I wound up playing all four sinning hands in battle. In one battle, I think I removed his auto from territory, his Gideon, I removed the David, and I removed an Ehud. And
yep.
Gabe was the only person at the entire T2 only, and this is one of the reasons I really wanted to play Sinning Hand, because Sinning Hand has almost a more satisfying experience than Plot. Plot is a great card, and one of my favorite cards, because it's just a hilarious card. It's going to have some kind of effect on the game, a dramatic effect on the game, and Sinning Hand is one of those cards which has a dramatic effect on the game, because you get this moment where someone has to make this critical decision. Do they remove this hero from the game who could be so vital to their offense, or do they discard half of their hand, which could be, you know, their next, that could be their, or their next two turns, potentially speaking. I mean, they've got 12 cards in their hand, and they're discarding six. That's practically two turns right there. And, Gabe was the only person in the entire team to only who ever faced Sinning Hand, and without any second guessing, just said, I will remove these. I will remove these here. And I thought that was pretty impressive. But that's kind of the idea behind the deck. I did roll a Scroll of Isaiah to make my Peter's sermon CBN. I had four of those, and I love that regardless of protection, I was able to draw with Chloe, and regardless of protection, convert protected four and wide. I was able to, regardless of protection, I can, regardless of protection, convert through a Syrian camp. It's really nice to face those, you know, really big evil characters where you can get a maybe two or three of those Peter Sermons off, maybe on a Phoebe or a Timothy, and you can, regardless of protection, convert their guys. So, you know, by the next two turns, after a couple of sewings, they're not going to have any blocking options left. So that's a really good way to go. And also, with the Scroll of Isaiah, this is something that Gabe recommended and told me about. I had been playing a lot of Tabitha, but because I love Tabitha. Tabitha can be another amazing hero who can just really force your opponent to make critical decisions where, you know, do they want to block with that guy who's going to be big enough to get a block on Tabitha, but it's going to result in their evil character being converted after the battle. And because she's discarded, you can return her to hand to convert an evil character to a play drop hero, which is hilarious. So, you know, the Scroll of Isaiah allows your opponent to discard two cards, I believe, of matching brigade instead for the CBN conversion. So so that's another way to trigger some retribution long souls, get some Tabitha conversion skilling. Some combos I really like with Tabitha, or some effects I really like with Tabitha that you can make happen is, you know, if they block with like an Antiochus and decide to discard your hero in battle, you can choose to discard Tabitha instead and then convert Antiochus to a Plague Drop hero. That's almost a free rescue. And if you can, you know, get him to block with like an Astrologer's, where you have to discard a card from territory, you can discard your, and they reveal an evil card from you, top or bottom. You discard a card from territory, you can discard your Tabitha and convert your Astrologer's. Tabitha is just she's very, very versatile. She can be a great turn one hero just because you can just kind of keep going in if they don't have some capture or under deck, you know, she or removal. She can do a lot of damage. And a couple other cards that I really enjoyed playing was Barnabas. I got some early game Barnabas. He can be great for scouting out your opponent's deck. You can grab those Awake Lost Souls, grab those Revealers, Shame. You know, the kinds of cards that, you know, Hoppers are great to grab with Barnabas. He's a great add in that offense. And also the Awake Lost Soul. I really like the Awake Lost Soul right now because I got a couple turn one Awake Lost Souls where I just got to scout out their deck right off the top. And, you know, that's a really good thing to be able to know what to expect to begin with because then you can start shaping the way that you're going to play, you know, against that opponent. And, you know, Pick Lost Soul is huge. There was maybe only one time where I felt like my Damsel was prevented by Pick, but Damsel being in there, I got a D9 off the Damsel because I revealed a love, and that was totally worth it. So those D9s between, like, Messenger and Damsel were huge. You know, card advantage is a really big thing. But that's kind of what I'm learning. You know, I used to have that defense running to just be entirely drawing. I had Biddles and Holy Grails. I could convert Biddles and draw as a hero. I had Sabbath Breakers, Damsels, just a ton of ways to 40 coins, ton of ways to escape Lost Souls, fight by the numbers in this game too. Tons of ways to just get that drawing and drawing and drawing. But kind of what I'm focused on more with this version of this deck is really just how to form the card advantage between hand control and deck control and allowing the choice that your opponent has to make between do they choose to control their hand and deck but become subject to sending hands. Or do they allow you to control their hand and deck, really gain a ton of card advantage in future turns and from previous turns because of how you know, Finnegan can wind up knocking out those previous turns, where they're building up that momentum to have the gut to be able to rescue some souls in the future. So that's kind of where I'm at with that deck, and kind of where it went. And, you know, Roundup gave me third place, so I was really, really happy with that. I was actually stunned. I didn't expect to get third place. I didn't even think that I got, I didn't even think that I played. I knew I did well, and I had a ton of fun. And that's really what it came down to, and that's really what that deck was about, was just having fun, having fellowship. And, you know, that's totally what we accomplished. And, you know, we had a great time, and I'm totally looking forward to Nationals and, you know, the state regionals in between there and the state district. But, yeah, thanks a ton to Wild Bill for throwing the T2 only, the 11th
Woo!
Annual
T2. Yeah, Bill! Woo!
And, totally looking forward to it next year. And, yeah, it's a great opportunity to play in Redemption.
All right, this is Gabe, and I guess a couple things we forgot to say first off the start is that we played 6 rounds of Type 2, and there were 18 players total. So we had a really good turnout. That's more Type 2 players than you usually see at Nationals the last several years. And the competition there was super good. At least a dozen of the guys there were, like, top-quality players. So you were pretty much guaranteed to be playing somebody that was going to give you a run for your money every round of the tournament. I ended up, as I said on the way up to the tournament, I was waffling between 2 decks. I did a pretty good job of sticking to that. I played each deck 3 rounds and started out with the Armor of God deck in the very first round. And sometimes with that initial shuffle after your deck's been checked and you had it stacked, you, like, no matter how much you shuffle, you just get some weird draws. And usually that goes really bad for me, and in the first round, it actually went, like, it was a weird draw, but it was amazing. I had full complement of Armor of the Gods, Armor of God stuff, like, within the first 3 turns, I think. I drew 3 armors. I drew Soldier. I drew Christian Soldier, or Soldier of God, Christian Soldier. I was able to search out everything I needed. So by turn 3, I had a full army of spiritual warriors with the full armor on somebody. And so I was just wrecking my opponent. And to compliment that, I drew no lost souls for most of that game. I drew 2 lost souls at the very end. So my opponent, Jonathan, was an absolutely great sport. He's just like, this game's so ridiculous. I just hope you don't draw any souls so I can say, hey, the reason I got beat 7-0 by Gabe is because he didn't draw any souls. And that totally would have been a legit statement. It's fair. Like, he ended up playing Son of God NJ, so I think it finished 7-2. So good for him. He's your Son of God NJ in the first, because it was a quick game. Anyways, he was a really great sport, and as a result, I ended up doing a Type 1 game against him with a playtest deck. So a few players there, they've been sworn to secrecy, so don't try and get the information out of them, but they got to see a few of the new cards, at least as they are right now. Who knows what they'll look like in a few months when they're printed, but that was really fun. So some people got a little exclusive sneak peek of some cards there. Even got to play a game Jonathan did. So that was a lot of fun. And I had some really great games. I got to play Jordan Allstead. He is an epic player. We had a really fun game. He ended up beating the pants off me 7-3. Got to play Tyler Stevens, Mr. Haynes on the boards. He is, like, he's a Type 2 giant. You know, a lot of my play style I adapted from talking to him at Nationals years and years ago. He is just an awesome, awesome player, and he's a great guy. I just have a ton of respect for him, and he had a really solid offense and defense, and it just was a really bad matchup. I whipped out my judges deck 2nd round against him, and he had Emperors and Ehud with Covenant with Adam up, just wrecked like half the evil characters in his deck. They just come into battle and they die, and so that was a really bad pairing for him. So it didn't go well. I forget what the final score was, but it was fairly one-sided. His Armor of God stuff just didn't come out for him very quick either. That's one of the problems with that deck is sometimes you just don't get the right pieces to open up the game and you get a really slow start. And, let's see who else I played. I played JD, obviously. We had a really tight game. He ended up winning 7-5. It really just came down to I didn't get to my Son of God. That game could have went either way, but JD played absolutely amazing. And, I was able to play around his Snowy Bountifully, but like you said, his defense was really, really tough on me. And the same thing as Jordan, his defense was just wrecking me. They were both playing demons. Demons are really strong. Banding, all the banding they can do, whether you're playing Panic Demons, They're both playing Wandering Spirits, Messengers, Spirit of Temptation. All that banding is just amazing. Not to mention Gates. You just get to extend the battle. Like, if they beat you, add some more guys to battle with Gates. It's pretty amazing. I also got to play, Martin Miller. I got to play Martin Miller. It was the sixth round when I played Martin, and he just had an epic start, and it was such a one-sided game. He whooped me 7-0. It was really, really ugly. That was the, I went 2-1 with the Armor of God deck, and that was the only loss I had with Armor of God. I just didn't get a good start. Martin had an amazing start. He kept attacking with Simeon to auto and then switched for Moses, and I think he got 7 souls with that. He never drew Son of God, even though he drew most of his deck, and I could not find the answers I needed to stop it. It was so ugly. And I also got to play Jaden Allstead, and I used Armor of God against him, and he just wasn't prepared for Armor of God. He straight up admitted it. He was playing Assyrian and his defense, and they just had really nothing on Armor of God. So that was a pretty one-sided game as well. I think that was 7-2. I think there were 5 Armor of God decks in total at the tournament, and so it was a pretty popular offense, and a number of different defenses paired with them. Trying to remember what everybody's playing. I was playing Crimson. Sam had the Pharisees with a few Romans. Tyler had, like, straight Romans, and he was tossing like a crazy man. It was really impressive what he was doing. I didn't think Romans were viable. Tyler proved us wrong. I'm pretty sure he finished somewhere in the top 6. And he did it with a Roman defense that I didn't think was viable. But that's the type of player that Tyler is. He can take something that you may not think is that good, and he's going to rock with it because the guy knows what he's doing. And let's see, who else did I play? I think that's everybody. What other decks were popular there? I saw some Disciples. Definitely saw some Disciples. I saw some Genesis. John Early's deck. Yeah, John Early has a deck. He finished building it this morning, so it wasn't fine-tuned, but he was doing some really cool stuff with Kings of Judah. Some priests, Solomon's Temple, Glory of the Lord, that type of stuff. He has really, really good take on that. He's already thought of some ways to fine-tune that deck and make it better. He didn't have the greatest showing. I think he might have finished up about 3-3. But kind of like me, so there you go, John. He's like, I'm going to retire, just go back to type 1. those are his words, and not mine. I'm still enjoying type 2. I'll keep playing type 2. Love it. So that's kind of a take on what we saw there, what did really well. So, I mean, in the top 6, 2 Armor of God decks, as those continue to be fine-tuned, I think you're going to see a lot of those doing well in Type 2 for at least the near future. Gamble of Speech everywhere. If you can fit that card in your deck, it's really good. There were Nazareth, Hezekiah's Signet Ring all over the place. Searching is a big deal, and stopping your opponent from doing it is a big deal. There were plenty of anti-draw stuff, but not quite as popular. Saw a lot of Fortress of Antonia as well, just whipping out those armor guys, or Roman defense, pretty good. Stacking stuff for demons is pretty good. That's pretty much what I saw. That was my experience. Had a really great time. Had a lot of fun talking to people. Had a great time conversations with Tim Molly, Jordan, Justin, John, Bill, got to meet, you guys already mentioned, Andrew Redemption Collector 2777 from the boards. Really cool guy from Canada that made the trip down to Minnesota. And there were some folks that didn't make it. We missed you. It was a great time. It's like a little mini family reunion, getting folks together. You only get to see, once a year. Some folks you get to meet for the first time. It's really great. My friend Noah and Luke, who were in my play group, but moved to South Dakota recently, that's Legolas on the board, is Noah. Noah is new to Type 2. I helped him build his deck last fall, and he's played like 2 or 3 Type 2 games ever before making the trip to this tournament, and he got 3rd in multiplayer last night. So, brand new Type 2 player, like, he's a really solid Type 1 player, and he just is adapted to Type 2 really well. So, I was super impressed by him. Props to Noah. Really good to see him and his brother again, and always enjoy seeing those guys. And, that's about it. So, this is over and out from the car heading to Iowa, coming from the Type 2 only. Thanks for listening. You made it this far, and hope to see you guys at the next tournament.
brought to you by Land of Redemption and Three Lions Gaming. Visit ThreeLionsGaming.com for all of your redemption needs.